you again to look at the top of the homepage at rents.com. There's a wonderful channel. It's Military Summary. Guy is really, really good. He's clearly plugged in to the Russian military establishment. He's being fed material that is accurate, correct, and he has it really nailed. It's up at the top of the homepage. Click on that and watch it. It's about 20 minutes, but if you want to get fully up to date, that is the best platform I have ever seen. Hello, Mitchell Henderson. Welcome back.
Hello. Good to be here.
Have you seen that guy's work, by the way?
No, you know what? No, I looked at the website a little earlier, but I think maybe you hadn't put it up there yet. But it sounded interesting.
It's been up for, I've been running for 3 days now. He'll update twice a day sometime. Yeah, I keep it current.
Oh.
And if the one that's up there now, after the program, you should go click and look on it if you can. He just lays it all out.
I think I missed it.
He knows where all the Ukrainian units are. He identifies them by name. Each one has a little icon. The whole map of the Donbass and the counteroffensive area, he shows which brigade is being pushed into battle, which brigade is being pulled out after being slaughtered, how many tanks. He's just got it all. It's a remarkable analysis. It's extraordinary. So
sounds good.
You'll appreciate it, being a military veteran, a lot. You'll like it. All right. Mitchell, onward. Let's go.
So let me start off with a correction. Okay. Last week, I identified Moses Maimonides' book, A Guide for the Perplexed, as Zionist literature. It was written in the 12th century. I based that on a paraphrase of Maimonides' Ten Attributes of God, in which the third stated that, quote, God cannot be corporal. I saw this as a predecessor to Baruch Spinoza's humanist philosophy, which was really sort of the beginning of Zionist philosophy. However, I was contacted by a scholar who said that this was not a true rendering of Maimonides' work. I investigated and found a more accurate and complete translation. I will say it so that you can decide for yourself. He said, instead of saying that God cannot be corporal, he said this: I believe, by complete faith, that the Creator, blessed be His name, is not a body, is not affected by physical matter, and nothing whatsoever can compare to Him or be compared with Him. Okay? In fact, this is correct. It is not telling God what He can or cannot do. It is stating the truth that God is not subject to time or space. Meanwhile, a current Christian pastor in Germany says that God is queer.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, how terrible these people are.
They're awful.
So accuracy and truth is important. I'm not a propagandist. I'm a journalist. The concepts of modern secular Zionism began with Baruch Spinoza in the 17th century and elucidated into its modern form by the father of Zionism and communism, by Moses Hess, in his 19th century book, The Holy History of Mankind, published in 1832. This book is still in print and available, by the way. So let me get on with the great Ukrainian counteroffensive. Okay. So when the Ukrainian counteroffensive began last week, I found it hard to believe that it was an offensive. When Russian news said it was the counteroffensive, I found it so weak and lackluster in its concept and implementation that I had a hard time believing that what I see was what I thought I saw was a mere demonstration, but I didn't think it was the counteroffensive. But a few developments made me change my mind. Ukrainian actions demonstrate that it is their counteroffensive. First, the attacks in Zaporizhia trying to penetrate south to Berdyansk, another attack around Uhlidar, another towards Bakhmut, and one in the Kharkiv area made up the main efforts. These were supplemented by Ukrainian attacks in Russian Belgorod Oblast and the blowing of the dam in the Dnieper River to flood the river at Kherson to keep Russian forces from attacking Odessa. That is it. They are giving all that they have, and it's not much. My first criticism is that the Ukrainians have four main efforts instead of one. The principle of war call for a single main effort with a massive troops and violence of action. Ukraine has split its forces and all look like main efforts. So Ukraine is dividing its forces, a certain recipe for failure. The American planners of this counteroffensive should know better than this. Shame on them. The other attacks should be secondary efforts using...
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
Is this not supposedly NATO's best planning, military offensive planning? This is supposed to be being shepherded by the U.S., Pentagon, and NATO bigwigs. And it's been a catastrophe.
Well, listen, just like anything else with the United States government, if they give you the money, they want control of what you do, okay? So, like they give money to states for highways and then tell them, oh, you have to have helmet laws and stuff. I mean, the government always, when it gives you something, it has strings attached. So the same is true with Ukraine. We own Ukraine. The government of Ukraine is the government of the United States. That we are their government. There is no other government. We pay the salaries of every worker in the Ukrainian government. They work for us. Okay, they are not working. Zelensky's just a puppet. He goes around, prances around, does what he's supposed to do, but he's a puppet. Okay, but he thinks he's actually in charge of the West. But that's just neither here nor there. Okay, so. These are the best. These are our current military planners. Can you imagine these people running a war against China
with
Russia itself?
No.
It would be a disaster. Okay.
Right.
So
the Ukrainians have lost about, to the best of my projections, about 8,000 dead already in a week.
Oh yes,
and
sure,
they're begging Germany for more Leopard 2A tanks or whatever they are. We are sending and sending and sending and disarming ourselves, and it's all for naught. It's all being destroyed.
And the funny thing is our politicians sit there and say, well, we need to do this because it degrades Russia. Well, Russia's doing fine. It's America that's degraded. So let me go on. The other attack should be secondary efforts using economy of force efforts as to not weaken the main effort. Have no doubt that American generals created this stupid plan. We quit teaching the principles of war in the 1990s under Clinton, who thought them politically incorrect and offensive to assassination.
Right.
Our generals are politicians and sycophants, not warriors or leaders. In any real sense, the diversionary attacks into Russia proper are not of any strategic advantage. It is a minor irritant to the Russians, who have not overreacted and flooded the area with forces. But see it for what it is. Blowing the dam on the Dnieper River in order to flood the front lines at Kherson to keep the Russians from attacking on that front to take Odessa was ill-timed. If you're going to flood an area as a barrier to enemy attack, ideally you want to do it when the enemy is attacking so you can destroy their forces in the flood. That is how it has always been done. But woke generals disregard the past. As Kamala Harris would say, we don't want to be controlled by the past, you see, unbounded by the past, a free future, not using any common sense or any education. These woke generals' minds are not bound by the past, and they need to not take the past into account as they visualize victories out of thin air in American Marxist magical thinking style. Not learning from the past engenders a lack of vision and foresight. We do not think about the consequences of our actions. Did not these idiots realize that if they flood the lower Dnieper, it will drain away in a relatively short time? The Russians had no immediate plans to launch their offensive, so the NATO-Ukrainian attack on the dam was pointless. It just hurt people unnecessarily. Now what weapon do they have when Russia actually crosses the West to take Odessa? They don't have that anymore. Since then, Zelensky and the United States admitted that this is their great mother of all offenses. The New York Times published a report on the counteroffensive last Saturday, saying that the Ukraine must gain ground or deliver a crushing blow to the Russian forces. Much rides on the outcome. However, Ukraine will not be able to recapture its territory like they wanted to. Politico has said that Biden is anxiously watching the counteroffensive, as officials believe Biden's reputation depends on its results. I don't know about that. He's a pedophile, and he's the president of the United States. So what can touch him, you know? They believe a victory is necessary to help Biden get reelected in 2024. Well, Biden is already kind of thinking that's not going to happen, and that's why Donald Trump is going on trial, okay? In addition, Zelensky is wanting to either join NATO or get NATO security guarantees at the July 7th NATO meeting in Vilnius, Lithuania. This is the next date to watch for the next stupid thing the West does. European nations are not likely to do that if Zelensky doesn't have some victories. You can expect a lot of Western propaganda saying that Ukraine has lots of victories. This is critical for Zelensky and his cronies. At stake is billions of dollars from American citizens going into the pockets of Zelensky and his corrupt and criminal global homo cronies. The lying is critical to getting more support. Let's get real. The Ukrainian counteroffensive is pathetic. They decided today that the main effort would be on the Zaporizhzhia front. Today they decide that, okay? But there is no main effort to make a breakthrough on this front. Instead, they have three main efforts on this one front. And seemingly, they have main efforts still at Ulidar, Bakhmut, and around Avdiivka in the north. There should be one main effort, but DEI minds cannot visualize that. A single main effort would be racist and contribute to climate change or something. I don't know. I cannot make myself stupid enough to understand their idiotic tactics and strategy. Their attempts at breakthrough have gotten them only one-fourth of the way to the first Russian defensive line. They've never advanced even over a kilometer. And the Russians set it up so they could go about 30 kilometers in because they have set kill boxes and traps for them. Okay? Yep. But the Ukrainians have only made it like one quarter of the way to the first defensive line. They not even to the first defense of the Russians.
No, there are four or five defensive lines. And the Russians have a new weapon that they've kind of rolled out. It looks like an MLRS, right, multi-launch rocket system. It's got tubes, maybe 10. But each rocket is designed to fall into a field and throw out landmines, anti-personnel mines.
Oh, yeah, yes,
all over
saw
the
that.
Place. So what they did is they lured the Ukes in, and they started slaughtering them. They pulled them right into a minefield and then started slaughtering them, and then got some of these MLRS systems which mine fields and launched them over the Ukraine troops so they couldn't retreat without going through another minefield. They boxed them in with mines, landmines.
That's the Russian strategy, is to set up these kill boxes, okay? Their attempts at breakthrough have gotten them only one quarter of the way through. The Ukrainians have decided that their breakthrough will be in eastern Zaporizhzhia, north of Berdyansk on the Sea of Azov. This is where they will cut the Russian-held territories in half. They are choosing this because the Russian defensive lines do not cover this. Remember, creating avenues of approach to funnel the enemy into a kill zone? I discussed that last time. This is the fundamental tactics for warriors. But American officers who are running the war in Ukraine spend too much time in tranny bars and not enough time studying tactics and strategy. Remember I said the Russians want to sucker the Ukrainians into a kill box in order to achieve an actual military objective, which is to destroy the enemy armed forces. All this begs the question of what the hell happened to U.S. military intelligence? Why did the Ukrainians have to spend 2 weeks probing the Russian lines? Superior intelligence can do that for you. The probing attacks were mainly a cover for the ill-designed and lackluster attacks that were supposed to be the counteroffensive. We will be seeing many failures described by our lying Marxist press described as Ukrainian victories. So Scott Ritter, He's a retired Marine Corps intelligence officer, the man who found that Saddam Hussein did not, in fact, have weapons of mass destruction in 2003, gave his assessment of the Ukrainian counteroffensive, and I'm quoting him. Ukrainian General Volushny said last year that if NATO wanted Ukraine to attack Russian forces, they would need 300 tanks, 500 armored vehicles, hundreds of artillery pieces, and unlimited ammunition. Just before the counteroffensive began in Ukraine, put out a video telling Ukrainians and Ukrainian troops to be silent about the counteroffensive. They didn't want to be embarrassed if it failed. That's why they had to keep it silent. Once again, all secret things are secret from us, not secret from the enemy. But former Ukrainian President Viktor Poroshenko publicly announced that the counteroffensive was about to start. The counteroffensive has begun. What we have seen is preparatory attacks intended to shape the battlefield. This is probing attacks looking for a weak point to exploit. This counteroffensive will fail. The Ukrainians have, this is Scott Ritter talking, keep in mind. The counteroffensive will fail. The Ukrainians have no chance whatsoever of succeeding. This counteroffensive is a political exercise intended to get the world to believe in the Ukrainian cause again after the devastating defeat in Bakhmut. Ukraine is desperate to prove that there is still some fight in them, but there is no doubt that Russia will win this war in a decisive victory. So what are we witnessing? What we are witnessing is the coming deaths of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian men that do not need to die. End quote. Okay, so after reading that, I just asked my Russian contact. They told me that it was not propaganda exercise. It was Russian military intelligence that discovered that it was the counteroffensive. Because I thought I was just reading what the Russian press said, and I thought, well, maybe they were just saying that this was the counteroffensive. But in fact, they had found out already that this was their big counteroffensive through intelligence means, not through propaganda. They admitted that they were expecting a bit more effort than what they are seeing, but it was not based on Russian assessments that it was the counteroffensive, but the Ukrainians themselves were calling that in spite of their Be Silent propaganda campaign. According to Russian Defense Minister Shoigu, the first 3 days of the Ukrainian counteroffensive was June 4, 5, and 6. At that time, the Ukrainians had 3,715 killed in action, and the Russians had 71 killed in action. The Ukrainians lost 52 tanks, and the Russians lost 15 tanks. Wow. Ukraine lost 207 armored vehicles, and Russia lost 9. Ukraine lost 134 wheeled vehicles, 5 airplanes, 2 helicopters, 48 field artillery guns, including American M777 pieces, and Ukraine also lost 53 drones.
Don't forget that we've been disarmed, Mitch, to a large degree. The EU is bitching and moaning now that they're 5 to 10 years behind in ammunition stores to sustain their militaries. 5 to 10 years. We're 6 years behind in tank and artillery ammunition. We don't have it. We can't fight. Yeah. This has been one of the most clever disarming operations I've ever seen in history, modern history.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, South Korea. South Korea was going to send artillery rounds to Ukraine, but they decided, we'll send it to the United States, and then they can send it to Ukraine. Russia is not fooled. They'll be supplying very good weapons to North Korea. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this country is being disarmed. Understand that. And in Ukraine, the Zionist Jewish government, the Bolsheviks, are slaughtering the Goyim Christian Army, which could stand up against it and oust it. They're getting rid of any opposition. This is diabolical. It's being played on multiple levels. This is very shrewd and very evil stuff. And you've got maybe 8,000 dead Ukrainians already in the last week, just from this utterly waste of human wave assaults. It's all being done with intent. They're not stupid.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Our allies in Europe are not as brainwashed as we are about the war. This past week, a Swiss military intelligence officer Colonel Jacques Baud, who worked in Ukraine for years with NATO, wrote an opinion piece in Europe in French. We would have never seen it except for Oliver Stone picking up on it. He tweeted a translation of it. It was also the subject of an interview on The Gray Zone. This was picked up by The Hill, and Kim Iverson picked up on it and made a video. This has been widely viewed in the United States. First, he writes that there are three reasons for the war in Ukraine. One, the expansion of NATO. Two, the West's refusal to implement the Minsk Accords. Three, the repeated attacks by Ukrainian targeting civilians in the Donbass for the past eight years. He wrote that what set the war off on February 17, 2022, Ukraine dramatically increased bombardment of civilians in the Donbass. On February 24th, Russia invaded to stop the genocide of ethnic Russians. Russia has the moral force in this war. He concluded that the United States, France, and the European Union intentionally created the conditions for this war. He wrote, "We show compassion for the Ukrainian people and the 2 million refugees, that is fine. But if we had a modicum of compassion for the same number of refugees for the Ukrainian population of the Donbass massacred by their own government and who sought refuge in Russia for 8 years, none of this would be happening." Okay. So the major effort that the American government at home is engaged in is to crush any negative news about Ukraine on social media. The FBI asked Twitter to cancel over 160 accounts that Ukrainian intelligence agents claimed were spreading fear and disinformation. The FBI also asked Twitter to forward the personal information of these accounts to Kiev. This story was read, this story was broke by reporter Aaron Mate. Mate is a far-left journalist. He writes for The Gray Zone. He read the emails from the FBI doing just this. Our government, who is constitutionally tasked with protecting our freedom and freedoms and lives, has doxed American citizens' information to the Ukrainian secret police, who have put them on a kill list. They did not just ban from Twitter. They are on a kill list now. American citizens, and our FBI got them on that kill list instead of protecting them. So let me ask you, who is our enemy? The government of the United States is an existential threat to the citizens of the United States. The government of the United States is actually the only real enemy the American people have. They are our only enemy. So FBI agent Alexander Kobzinets, who is based in the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, wrote to Twitter in March 2022 when the FBI decided to betray American citizens to Twitter, writing, quote, "A list of accounts I received over a couple of weeks from the Security Service of Ukraine, the SBU. These 163 accounts are being used to disseminate information and fake news to inaccurately reflect events in Ukraine." In other words, the FBI is actively helping suppress the truth about the war in Ukraine on behalf of the most corrupt and inhumane nation in Europe. It is betraying American citizens to a foreign power. Zelensky has tasked the SBU to murder these people in order to protect their lives. They want to suppress the truth, so we will keep sending them money and weapons. Remember a year ago I reported that most weapons are going to the black market? Then CBS reported that 70% of our weapons were going to the black market, and Zelensky ordered them to retract it. They did. Wow. You see, Zelensky is the boss of our mainstream media and the boss of our FBI. Zelensky, the clown, gay, sissy pervert, is the real boss of America. He is the Zionist Jewish leader of the West right now. Okay, so speaking of the black market, journalists taking pictures in Matamoros, Mexico, have taken photos of the Gulf cartel openly carrying Javelin missiles.
Yes.
We are paying $178,000 for each one of these rockets, and the cartel is buying them for $30,000 from Ukraine. The Gulf cartel will sell you a missile for $40,000 if you want a cash and carry. Okay, imagine. Mexico absolutely forbids private ownership of any firearm, but their criminals have Javelin missiles. When the U.S. government takes away your assault weapons, truly only the criminal gangs will have weapons, just like now in Mexico. Okay, so Sunday, Seymour Hersh, who is a mainstream media figure, said that now over half of the world supports Russia. Let me quote what he reported. He said, "The percentage, particularly of the Africa and Central Asian and South Asian countries that have changed from being pro-America to being pro-Russia is really quite dramatic. Much more than half of the world's population supports Russia in the war and not the U.S. This was never the way it was. Washington has lost so much credibility around the world because of the conflict in Ukraine." An indication of this was the rapprochement of Saudi Arabia and Iran. It happened because of Ukraine and dislike of the war, and it was a big blow to the officials in the Biden administration who hate Iran. Because the mending of ties with Iran, we're going to have a settlement in Yemen that we in America could never get. We are getting pushed out. Even in the U.S., the war is unpopular because we cannot afford it. America spent something like $140 billion on this war at a time when 15 million Americans were taken off free health care by the administration. I mean, what is going on in America is just outrageous. Ukraine's long-awaited counteroffensive is doomed to fail as Kiev's military units have all different training, weapons, and commanders, and seem unable to work together efficiently. U.S. President Joe Biden apparently thinks the conflict in Ukraine is a ticket for him to be reelected. And it seems to me that we're in for some real political problems here in America. End of his quote. So this is another thing we have to watch. If Ukraine totally fails, Joe Biden might do something rash to try to get some bit of victory out of it. It might push him into making a miscalculation where we go to nuclear war so that demented old pedophile can get his butt back in the White House.
He will never be reelected. Only 20% of the Democrats say they'll vote for him. Nobody wants the guy. It's not going to happen unless he is installed again, which I can't
even
believe
would happen.
It's RFK Jr. That's who's going to be your next president. Mark my words. He's completely controlled and compromised. He's turned. They own him. They're going to put him in there to get the bad taste of Biden and the camel out of their mouths, the public's, and put in Camelot 2. Well, just mark my words. That's my call, and I'm sticking my neck out for the last couple months on this.
Okay.
RFK Jr. That's who's being groomed.
Well, I think it'll be Biden. It'll be Biden because that's the worst possible thing that could happen, I think it's going to happen. Okay. It is coming, folks. This week, the German government started talking about outlawing the Alternative for Germany party, which has over 1 in 5 of all German voters because it is, quote, a threat to democracy. You hear that? Just like
AFG
Donald Trump is
being outlawed. Wow.
Yeah. So just like Donald Trump is perpetually on trial in an effort to save democracy, you see, the reason why Democrats have made a war on straight people, a war on your children's innocence, a war on white people, a war on those who are not woke, a war on your finances, a war on your family, is all to save democracy. In other words, it's all to establish a totalitarian state. And of course, if you're going to install a totalitarian state, the best thing you can say is save. The best motto is save democracy. Okay, because it's doing the opposite. The reality is that if we want to save democracy, we have to throw our government and put them in jail, all of them, Republican and Democrat. This leads to ask who we should support in 2024. First, we should not allow the child-molesting woke Democrat Party to choose Republican candidates for president. In fact, every Republican presidential candidate except Trump is approved by the pedophile left. So we should all vote for Trump and no one else. If they indict or convict Trump of a crime and he is not on the ballot, we should do two things. Write in Trump's name as a write-in candidate and refuse to vote for any Republicans in any office. They are not helping us. Only Trump is against supporting Ukraine. Even DeSantis wavers on this issue. That is for our own personal survival. DeSantis will support Ukraine if you elect him. He is more of a Zionist than Trump. He supports Israel over America and Zionists over American citizens.
Yes, he does.
Tim Scott of South Carolina is running for president. Guess what, folks? He is your enemy. He wants to pass legislation that allows the Attorney General to bar terrorists from owning firearms. What is a terrorist? White people are terrorists. What a clever way to disarm white people. If he has been paying attention to what, in fact, the Department of Justice does not obey the law and only enforces laws against white people. Tim Scott is black, and his policy screams that he hates white people and is no friend of freedom. When it comes to your individual rights, only two candidates support your rights and liberties. One is Trump, and the other, believe it or not, is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Yes, Kennedy is more supportive of your rights and liberties than any other Republican candidate. I'm not saying vote for him. I think if he's president, it would be a disaster also. But that's why I think what we should do is just do that. If we have to write-in vote him, what if he got 80 million write-in votes? Well, he's not going to be president, but what the world will see, the world will come to the final decision that America is a police state and not a democracy. We are a banana republic. We became third world over the I kind of think it's ironic, but I spent the early part of my life in the third world, you know, in the military, working for the government and stuff. And then I come back to America only to see, and I see it every day, we're becoming more and more like the third world. I would say that if you go to Los Angeles, San Francisco, or Chicago, we are worse than a third world country in those places.
Okay? 3.5, if not 4. And I also want to point out, and I think a lot of you are noticing this, the general overall mental baseline competency of rank-and-file people seems to be diminishing. And I'm talking about the vaxxed in particular. Now, those who have been shed upon may end up suffering the same kind of thing, but mental incompetence is now becoming more pronounced. I'm seeing it. I'm hearing it. The spike protein damages the brain. End of story. Period. This whole thing has been coordinated on a level that very few could even comprehend. Go ahead.
Okay, so why vote for Trump? Because they will not allow him to become president again. He will undo much, if not all, their work. He will set them back. Trump is called an existential threat to democracy. If he actually gets elected, the FBI will murder him. So it is very important who his vice president will be. So far is between Marjorie Taylor Greene, Kerry Lake, and Elise Stefanik. Kerry Lake looks to so far be the best in regards to your personal liberty. Okay.
Kerry Lake is actually, if you listen to what she says, pretty smart. Mm-hmm. She's a good patriot.
Oh, yeah.
No question.
Yeah, I think so. So I hope he picks her because I know they're going to kill him. They're not going to let him live, you know.
Well, they just give him a
so I want to talk about it. I said last time, I think, that we had listeners in Morocco. Well, our listener in Morocco, he actually fled the United States because he absolutely refused to allow his children to hear any woke LGBT crap. Immorality, just the whole thing. And
where did he move?
He moved to Morocco. I said, why Morocco? He says, well, because it's a Muslim country and they simply won't allow woke stuff. You know, LGBT is a crime in that country.
Well,
so his kids aren't being taught that stuff.
But when they talk about dying for Allah and going to heaven and you get 72 virgins, the part of that they leave out is you also get 27 little boys, and that's the truth. This is a culture and a religion that does not turn its nose down or up at homosexual and pedophilia. It's a big secret. Do some research.
Oh, it is a big secret. It's imbued in their culture and stuff, but he doesn't have to worry about his kids seeing gay pride flags and crap like that. And
well, he
loves his kids, so he doesn't let them go stay with strangers or anything like that. But I just wanted to.
Why don't you go to Russia? Russia is offering land and homesteading.
Yeah,
but
when he moved, he had actually traveled to many countries and tried many countries out. Okay, so Morocco was just like fifth choice or something. The other ones didn't work out. Anyways, let me just read what he wrote to me. He said, "An ideology like humanism that de-emphasizes or eliminates the almighty creator, heaven forbid, ultimately dehumanizes. See communism, see Ukraine, see Canada, see current U.S. government. The whole uniqueness of mankind is its creation in the image of the creator. Diminish the creator, diminish the creation." I thought that was a very, very good point that he made. So, this has been a long projection. The Enlightenment of the 17th century brought out all these ideas, brought out humanism, progressivism, and ultimately led into the 19th century into a formalized communism and formalized Zionism. Okay, so Zionism is not just some loose thing where, you know, Jewish people over the years have pushed this Zionism. It is as of the 19th century, it is a formal political philosophy. Okay, with leadership, with organization, with everything. Okay, and out of Zionism, communism is just Zionism in sheep's clothing. Okay, because nothing is worse than the wolf of Zionism. Okay, it is a godless, anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-human philosophy. Okay, it is a curse upon us. At any rate, we just have to deal with this stuff every day. But you know what? I think there's starting to be a little bit movement. There's movement because, you know, as far as Trump's indictment is concerned, even the president of El Salvador told Biden, "You're a banana republic. This is what you complained about Latin America doing all these years to put your main political opponent in jail is something that Soviet Russia would do, that Communist China would do. This is not something that has been an American tradition." So today, with Trump being formally indicted, we have seen the end of America. Okay, it is the end of democracy. It is the end of the republic. It is the end of freedom. It is the end of liberty. Yeah. We now live in a police state. Okay, so we're going to see it more. I mean, listen to this. Just listen to this. So California is passing, I think it's Bill 957. And this bill says that if you're a parent and you do not affirm LGBT lifestyles, it is a crime and your children can be taken from you. And who gets to enforce this? LGBT NGOs will be the people pointing the finger at the adults that need to go to jail and have their children taken away. This is America, and we're going to put people in jail for opposing immorality? Just think about it. How far we have fallen already. You know, I mean, we are not going to last long, okay? But at this point, I have to say that, well, who needs a country like this, you know? I mean, we don't need this. What we need is we need our liberty back. We need our freedom back. We need to stop these people. We need to stop this nonsense. It has gone too, you know, it's sort of like, it is even beyond some communist Marxist takeover of America. It is a complete satanic and immoral takeover of America. This is they are trying to turn us into Sodom and Gomorrah. Actually, I think you might have had an easier time in Sodom and Gomorrah than you have here in the United States now.
Not a bad thing to say. Yeah, I agree.
Yep. Also, do you know what this is? This law 957 in California. This is possibly the first strongest anti-Christian piece of legislation there's ever been, because this law is intended to target Christians who believe that LGBT lifestyles are immoral. They want to silence that. You're not allowed to say that anymore, okay? You're an evil person if you say that. And you know what? When I say that there are no LGBT people in heaven, I sincerely, really mean that. After all, would it be heaven if we have to go to heaven and listen to all this LGBT crap thrown in our face constantly? Would that be heaven? We're there, and this is hell. We're there now, and this is hell. You know, God would not make us submit to having these people around in the next life. I mean, it's immoral. It's got no place in heaven, no place in the church, no place in a Christian's heart, okay? Yeah, I'm not saying to go be mean to these people or be cruel to these people. Nobody wants you to do that. God doesn't want you to do that. But you know what? He does not want you to tolerate them. He especially does not want you to accept them, okay? We're not supposed to hang out with evil people. A Christian is supposed to try to avoid hanging out with that kind of people.
It gets all over you. Yeah, awful.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Yeah. It just goes on and on. I mean, you know. You know what? It's like there's, you know, when they found this country, there was something that wasn't expressly stated in the Constitution, but the Constitution, sort of, the Bill of Rights alluded to it, and that was the right to be left alone. You know, why do I have to think what they think? Why do I have to believe what they believe? Mm-hmm. That's not leaving me alone. Insisting that I believe bullshit is not leaving me alone. I can't have liberty if I have to have this crap thrown in my face constantly, every day. Okay? It just isn't going to happen. Another thing I will not do, I will not use anybody's preferred pronouns. You know? I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to assist them by changing the language.
That's
okay.
Right.
If you read the appendix to George Orwell's 1984, it's a appendix called Newspeaks, and he's describing how in order to change everybody's consciousness, you change the language, you change the meaning of words, sort of like save democracy. Save democracy means impose totalitarianism, okay? Like truth is lies. Lies are truth. Peace is war. War is peace. I mean, this is typical Orwellian nonsense, you know?
Wow. Yeah, you're on a roll there. You got it nailed. It's true. It's all true.
Other things about this meeting in Vilnius on the 7th of July, already 11 NATO nations have come out and said that they will not ever accept Ukraine as a NATO member. And remember that it has to be unanimous amongst all NATO members to admit a new NATO member. And 11 countries say they will never allow Ukraine into NATO. 11 countries out of, I forget what it is, I can't remember how many NATO nations there are, but that's quite a bit. It's like a third of all NATO nations are against it. And the other NATO nations have all come out and say, well, we won't admit any country if it's engaged in a war right now, which would be foolish, you know, to do it. So the only thing some things have happened that they were expecting the Ukrainians to do a little bit better in Zaporizhzhia because the excuse for setting off the false flag nuke at the plant was that the Russians were losing and got desperate and set off the nuke. Well, that just isn't happening. I mean, the whole world knows that Russia is not desperate. Russia's a little bit shocked that they expected 3 casualties for every Russian casualty, but it's more like 10 casualties for every Russian. Well, there's reasons for that. I mean, I keep looking at the thing. I saw a group, like a whole squad of Ukrainian soldiers, blown up with one missile. Why? Well, they don't know to keep their distance from each other. they group together. That's horrible.
About 2 weeks of training.
Yeah, yeah.
If you look at the video at the top of the homepage, some of the footage in there is particularly appalling. Mm-hmm. We know that Ukraine's human rights policies have been virtually non-existent, from executing prisoners of war to torturing them, killing civilians, false flags, etc., etc. They're killing people since 2014.
Yeah.
Okay, so now here are five Ukrainian soldiers who walk up a road and pick up a wounded comrade, put him on a stretcher, and four of them are carrying it back, and the other's just loose. He's with them. Five of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're carrying this wounded guy back. They're going to head over into the brush and go into a tunnel system to try to get him medical aid. Well, up the road comes a Ukrainian Bradley, and it opens fire on the five Ukrainian soldiers, killing them all, apparently, and the wounded soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah.
Because they weren't moving forward. They were retreating and taking care of a wounded soldier. So they annihilated their own people. That's the This is World War II, commissars behind the front line, machine gunning anybody in the back who didn't move forward. It's the same idea.
Right. Exactly. Well, also, I keep seeing, especially now that this counteroffensive is going on, the Ukrainian units, listen, the Russian units, you just see them in camouflage. The purpose of camouflage is so that you won't be seen and won't be hit. Okay, so in the American Army, like when I first went in, we had like white name tags and colored patches and stuff, and they quickly figured out that, well, that just makes you a target. So they came up with subdued patches, subdued name tags,
That's
so
right.
that you would fit in with the environment. So Ukrainian soldiers are all wearing camouflage, but then they have these bright day glow things, tape around their helmet, around their arms, on their backpacks, stuff like that. This is day glow tape. People can see it from a big difference. It's killing their soldiers. Well, you have to ask yourself, why are they doing that? Why aren't the Russians doing it, but the Ukrainians are? The Russians aren't doing it because a Russian squad leader knows his men personally. He knows them by name. He is responsible for them. He takes care of them. So he knows them, okay? And the squads know, everybody knows each other. So they don't need these fancy things to identify. The fact that you see these tape on the Ukrainian soldiers demonstrates clearly they don't have training. Their NCOs don't even know the men in their squad. Their officers don't know who these people are that are in their platoon or their company. This is a lack of leadership. There's no training. There's no leadership. Okay? It's just, in a way, it distresses me, Jeff, because I don't know if I've told you before, but my grandmother's from Ukraine. Okay? And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing the Zionists exterminating my people. It's not Russia exterminating them.
No,
Russia's willing to talk any day.
No,
they will talk to stop this war. But Zelensky and the Zionists will not stop until every Ukrainian is dead. That's what
every
they want
Christian
to do.
Every Christian Ukrainian is dead.
Yes, every Christian Ukrainian.
Yeah. You got it.
And the Tartars.
I'm saying the same thing. Well, it's genocide. They're genociding any potential uprising against their government. They're killing their own. So,
yes.
Sick. Satanic sick.
Well, you know, coming back to Robert F. Kennedy, you know, we saw what they did to Bernie Sanders in 2016.
Yes.
We saw what they did to Tulsi Gabbard in 2020. The DNC itself kicked these people who might have good ideas and might be good, solid, intelligent candidates. They scrubbed them as fast as they can, okay? So, you know, Kennedy is not quite on board with all the woke nonsense. He's not on board with depriving you of your freedom of speech. He's against depriving you of your freedom of speech. You know, it was his uncle that made the statement that if you suppress this freedom of speech and you don't let people talk, you make violence inevitable by doing that. And he basically follows that, because one of the hallmarks of our government since 2001 is a lack of privacy, a lack of freedom of speech. Okay. So, and do we have the right to assemble? Well, if you're white, no, you do not. Because if there's an assembly of white people, that's called a domestic terrorist act. Okay. So you see, it's once again Orwellian. They just change the name of something and make it into, you know, it's a crime all of a sudden. So, it's, you know, people, do they not realize that everybody knows Joe Biden stole documents when he wasn't supposed to? He actually stole them from a skiff. He snuck them out. That is called espionage. That is a crime. You can get life in prison for it. Mike Pence, he was vice president. He took stuff home. And he had to get it from a skiff. The only one who doesn't get it from a skiff is the president, because the president doesn't have to be in a skiff to read classified materials. So these people actually stole secret documents, and none of them are on trial. Hillary Clinton, major, major abuse of secret intelligence and documents. It's no problem. No issue, no deal. But Donald Trump, who actually had declassifying authority on secret documents, he's charged with a crime.
Well, it's so bad. I don't think we're ever going to see Hunter Biden charged or Joe charged with anything. It's too corrupt. It's gone. Just gone. Amazing. Great job, Mitch. That was quite an interesting dissertation, as always. Thank you very much for all the good work.
You're welcome.
Great job. All right, we'll talk soon. I'll go look at that thing
okay.
at the top of the homepage, please. There's a military
manual. I have to wait till tomorrow because I can only turn my computer on when the sun is out, because I'm on a solar. Everybody, yeah. Listen to this. Solar is unreliable and inefficient. Okay?
Thank you. All right, Mitch. We'll talk again. You be well. Be safe. Okay. Mitchell Henderson. There we go. Boy, he tells it straight. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Have a good day. Thanks for being here tonight. A lot of information, again, for you to digest and do what you want with. We'll be back to try it again tomorrow. Take care. Have a good night.